Hour two begins with a warning, not from Pulp Fiction or a midnight movie, but from the strange crossroads of folklore, psychology, and prophecy. Author Maxim Furyk pulls threads together: UFOs, demonic infestations, cryptids, cultural collapse, and he dares to ask, are we witnessing the dawn of a paranormal apocalypse? This hour, we dig into these chilling ideas and explore what it might mean for the fate of us all. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us, Maxim Furyk. The book, we have a link for it on today's program guide and for Maxim's website, so you can find him and all of his remarkable work and books that he's been a part of. In the previous hour, we talked about the Smurl haunting. You talked about the real hero being this, was it a bishop?
No, it was a priest, Father Alphonse Trebol, who did four exorcisms there, and it was finally the fourth one that he was able to cleanse the house.
But I want people to realize that too. This isn't something that's easily defined or fixed in an evening.
Right.
You know, we watch movies and TV shows, and they always get a tidy 30-minute to 200-minute story, and they tidy it all up and clean it up all at the end. But the fact is, the Smurls, they were plunged into a hell, and they were plunged there for quite a while. And it wasn't just one exorcism; it was multiple attempts.
Yeah. And in my book, on the Smurl haunting, like, I think the best way to learn is to compare and contrast. And what I do is I compare the Smurl haunting with Amityville and Hinsdale, but with Father Alphonse Trebol, who was able to cleanse the Smurl house, he was not able to cleanse the Hinsdale house. He left. He told the people there, just leave, take your belongings. Don't tell anyone where you're going and just leave. He said, some places are just evil. They're holes. They're gateways to hell. So Hinsdale was the one in New York State that Father Trebol just thought was really a bad place. Cursed. It was cursed.
Well, we say these words like cursed. Cursed by who? From whom? From where? Is it just cursed because this is an easy outlet for the demonic realm to get into this place? Is it, you know, the theory that Native Americans cursed the land because, you know, of their death and destruction, which also seems counterintuitive, since Native Americans, indigenous people, First Nations people, whatever the proper terminology is today, they revered the land, the sky.
Right, yeah, I know, yeah.
And I have a hard time with them cursing the land.
Yeah, good point, because a lot of people say that.
Yeah.
It was cursed by Indian, Native American sacrifices or sacrilege or whatever. So, I never believed that either. Or the house was built on the ancient burial grounds of Native Americans, and that's another one. But I don't know. All I know is that Hinsdale, there was something about Hinsdale that was evil. And even today, you could spend the night there at the Hinsdale house for a fee. So the guy that took it over is now, this is like a bed and breakfast, a paranormal bed and breakfast. So it's just making money, you know, from demonology. We didn't mention the Gettysburg trip, but with the Smurl haunting, I went down to Gettysburg to see the Annabelle doll, the alleged cursed doll. This was on July the 11th. It was a Friday. And I met Dan Rivera. And there's Dan. He was the chief handler. You could see in the middle there, there's Annabelle. And Annabelle's in this wooden cage. The Lord's Prayer is tacked to the back. And there were three crucifixes representing the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The wood was infused with holy water and holy oil. And I had a chance to meet Dan Rivera, and we chatted. And Dan's a former Methodist that became a Catholic. And when you talk to these converts, I mean, they're really enthused. But all the people there in Gettysburg were, you know, with the Annabelle tour, were very much devout Christians, and they talked about that. But the thing of it is, Dan and I agreed to have a conversation on Monday, July the 14th. Now, this was July the 11th that I met Dan. We were supposed to have a chat when he went back to Monroe, Connecticut. We were supposed to talk on Monday the 14th. Dan died the night before. He died on Sunday the 13th. And, you know, I've been interviewed countless times about what do I think happens. I think it was a coincidence. And then I've heard from so many people of my in my paranormal community that there's no such thing as a coincidence. And when you take a look at what happened with Annabelle, that went, they took Annabelle out of the occult museum in Monroe, Connecticut, and took Annabelle to San Antonio, to West Virginia, to New Orleans, to Gettysburg. When Annabelle was in New Orleans for 3 days, there was a plantation fire. There was a jailbreak. Those 10 dudes broke out of the local jail. And then there was a fire at the Voodoo Queen, Marie Laveau's house. 3 days, three things. I asked Dan Rivera about that, and Dan said that that was coincidence. And people that I'm talking to, like the psychic Vincent sisters, say no, there were demonic energies infused in Annabelle. And because Dan was hanging around and handling Annabelle, that he was worn down by those energies. And that's probably what killed him. So again, you have one camp saying, let's not talk about this. Let's let Dan Rivera's family grieve in peace. And then you're having another side saying, listen, we got to be, there's danger here. You know, you got to be warned about this, but still they're taking Annabelle around and charging a fee. When I was in Gettysburg, there were 1,240 people that saw Annabelle. Multiply that times $40. Everybody paid $40 to get in. The people from the occult museum were making tons and tons and tons of money. That was the motive. It was a money-making operation, nothing else. It wasn't to educate us about the paranormal. So, you know, I don't care what.
I'm guessing you're not a big fan of this touring museum exhibition then.
I'm not a big fan of the tour, and I'm not a big fan of Tony Spira. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Dan Rivera. I thought he was a stand-up guy, but I think Tony Spira is just, you know, he's the worst of the worst, and he gives a bad name to the paranormal.
Now, for people that don't know who Tony Spira is, do you want to take a second to explain that?
Not really, but I will. Yeah, Tony Spira married Judy. That was Ed and Lorraine's daughter. So because he married Judy, this son-in-law had access to the remnants of the, you know, what was left there with the museum. Lorraine wanted Annabelle to stay there in Monroe, Connecticut. Tony Spira decided to take it on the road. Again, it was very lucrative. So that's what he did. Now, the latest thing is that comedian Matt Rife bought this, or he leased the house and the things in there. And he leased this, I believe, for 5 years. But this happened right after Gettysburg. I mean, it happened fast. And, you know, I got back from Gettysburg and I had like a million people emailing me, did you hear what happened with Annabelle and Matt Rife? So this was breaking news.
So yeah. It's startling. And obviously there are weird coincidences when you look at the different things that are taking place in the places that Annabelle the doll was visiting. You know, the skeptic in me wants to say, come on, bad things happen all the time.
Yeah.
You know, there's a full, I don't know if you're aware of this, but being in the music, I'm sure you are, Maxim. There's a full theory that Garth Brooks is a serial killer, and every town he goes to, there are people that go missing.
Well, no, I gotta look that up. No, I haven't.
Yeah. Heard. Oh, it's great. Some comedian started it. Where's the body, Garth? Is what they yell to him at the concerts. But it's like in every town where Garth Brooks visited, somebody would go missing.
Yeah.
So they were trying to clue you in. But I mean, that's seeing threads where there necessarily aren't. It's just noticing that this is a natural element of this environment. And let's attach it to something. And it just so happened Annabelle was in town. So this time we attach it to Annabelle. When we come back, though, where are we? Is there a paranormal uprising? Let's discuss that next with Maxim Furyk. All right, we are back. Maxim Furyk, our guest this evening. And talking about this paranormal apocalypse, something on the rise. I mean, I know a lot of haunted places that I've been to have noticed a strange turn in the type of activity, not even necessarily the type that they've always known. There is something else going on out there. Places that were not haunted before are beginning to show their colors now. Do you think, you know, part of me wants to lean into that, Maxim, and say, well, we also know, as you brought up in the last segment, there's some money in the paranormal. If you now have a haunted bar, restaurant, or hotel, there's a better chance you're going to get people that are going to want to come see it.
Right.
So how do we start to kind of sift through the rubbish and figure out what's real and what's not, and how much danger are we really in at this point in history?
Well, you know, I'm a little bit concerned with some of these young people. I think that it's, for the most part, it's young people that go into these alleged haunted houses, the abandoned prisons and mental institutions, looking for ghosts and spirits. And I think when you do that, I mean, there's a good chance that you're going to find something, maybe a demon that's looking for somebody that's vulnerable. And it's just a matter of, you know, if your number's up. I was invited to Butler, Pennsylvania for the paranormal conference, and on stage with me were the psychic Vincent sisters. So they're taught, you know, they're used by the law enforcement to find missing persons and to find murderers, you know, and like Garth Brooks and all these people. So anyway, there was a guy there in the front row. He was a ghost hunter. He was a solitary dude. He wasn't a member of a group, and he would go to all these places looking for the spirits. He was attacked on this one night, and he showed on his phone he had these claw marks on his chest, and his eye was bulging. I mean, something attacked him. Now, that scared me. I mean, whatever that right. was, that was pretty horrific. That the psychic Vincent sisters thought that he had been – there was an attachment. There was a demonic attachment there, and they said he needed to go and just – bathe himself with a whole lot of crucifixes and holy water. That was their resolution to that. But I saw those pictures and I thought that was pretty scary. So again, you know, we don't always see that. We're not all privy to that. But those of us in the field, those of us who read about it and research this, have heard stories about demonic entities and what they can do. And I think maybe the majority of the public doesn't. I think the majority of the public just think it's Hollywood and it's just, you know, stories there to scare us. But I believe there's something realistic, something of reality that's out there that we need to be concerned with. And if, in fact, you go looking for these things, you need to have some kind of solid foundation, whether that's faith, whether that's a crucifix, whatever talisman or, you use, whatever you rely upon to give you that faith and hope. But I think that you can't go there by yourself. I think you need ammunition. You need help. So,
do you believe then that there really is an uptick and an uprising in the type of activity that's taking place, or is it that we now live in an environment since 2004, I think, when Ghost Hunters TV show was introduced on Sci-Fi Channel here in the United States, that kind of opened the door. Now, obviously, over in the UK, they'd had shows like Dead Famous and Most Haunted and some of these other programs that were really leaning into high strangeness. But ever since 2004, 2005, it really seems the resurgence has taken place. People used to whisper about these things at the coffee pot and around the water cooler, but now it's just normal conversation. Look, we're on normal radio stations around the United States and around the world talking about topics like this. So is it that it's truly becoming more prevalent, or have we all just come out of the coma and we're awakened now to what's going on, so we're noticing it more?
Yeah. Well, I think we're more alive. You know, I mean, the essence of a human being is to be curious, mm-hmm. to find out, to solve that puzzle. You know, there's a little bit of the Indiana Jones in all of us, where we're all trying to find the Holy Grail, trying to reach the top of the mountain. So I think to be curious and to look for answers is being human. That's what children do, and that's what adults should do. And I tell you what, if you stop doing that, I think, you know, you're giving up on part of your humanness, because that's our drive. That's what keeps us going. And that's what's, you know, the beauty about being a human. And I love the paranormal because it's just such a very embracing and warm community. It has been for me. And at least we talk about the possibility of these things. Again, with the paranormal,
right.
It's something outside of science. We don't know what it is, but at least we look at the possibilities. And this is the wonderful thing about having shows like this and having, podcasts like this, just to be able to go and talk about it and to try to define the parameters of this paranormal. When does it begin? When does it end? You know, how deep is it? You know, so this is what we're doing. This is what's exciting, because nobody really knows. I mean, we can't. We don't have the proof. I mean, I really wish I could show you a Bigfoot carcass or a flying saucer, but, you know, I've been looking, but I got nothing.
Well, that's the thing. The whole world is looking now, right? There's TV shows, every UFO show, Bigfoot show, ghost show, even demonic shows. People are now paying attention to the skies. They're looking in the woods around them. They're paying attention in their own homes. So I don't know necessarily that things have gotten any more progressive in the way of more activity unfolding. I just think we might be becoming more aware of what's taking place.
Yeah, I think you're right. And there may be a renaissance. You know, back in the 20s, they had seances, and that was the era of spirituality, spiritualism and all that. I think that, you know, that went away. People thought that that was just, you know, foolish. And now I think it's starting to come back, and I think people are starting to just look at the possibility. So I just think that we are maybe being a little bit more open-minded now. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, hard to believe, but we as a society.
Right. Well, it's not that hard to believe when you really consider that we're probably further away from religion now than we have been on this planet in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I mean religion in whole. So yeah. I think when you step away from things that gave you comfort and peace and maybe a boundary line that made you feel like, okay, this is how life is. This is how it goes. And now we start stepping back and questioning religion more. That makes this become even more prevalent because it's filling in the nooks and crannies that once used to be filled with, you know, going to church and religious life and beliefs and all of that.
I'm glad you said that because as a baby boomer, I think it was something like 64% of us believed in God and believed in going to church. With Generation Z, the youngest ones, I think the oldest one is like 26 years old, maybe 24% of those have the same beliefs. So we human beings are spiritual creatures. So if you don't go to church to demonstrate your spirituality, how do you do that? So you do it in other ways. And maybe looking into the paranormal, looking into Bigfoot, looking for, you know, flying saucers. I mean, that there's other ways. You know, Dalai Lama said there's many roads lead to the same place. So, you know, take your pick, you know, and we're all just travelers on the journey. You know, I mean, we don't know where it's going to end. You know, we're just travelers and, you know, hoping that we can make it to the end.
You know, obviously you sat down to look at this book. When you take a look at the broader spectrum of what's going on out there, do you feel that is there a doom to what's happening? Or is it maybe that we're stepping finally into a sense of enlightenment? We look at things like the tarot, right? See, the death card, automatically people assume this means you're going to die when it really stands for the end of something to allow the beginning of something new. So I do want to talk about that when we return with our guest, Maxim Furyk, right here on the Paranormal 360.
Oh, are you reading me? Come in. Hello?
Greetings from the shadow and welcome to Shadowzine. My name is Jeff Belanger. I'm an author, podcaster, and explorer of the unexplained. For 30 years, I've been investigating the paranormal, UFOs, monsters, and things that bump in the night. Lately, you may have noticed how major TV networks and even social media networks have been pushing our favorite subject back into the shadows. I say good. That's why I launched Shadowzine, a monthly underground publication that covers your favorite topics in depth by some of the leading writers and researchers out there. If you're looking for 30-second TikTok clips, go somewhere else. If you're ready for a deeper dive, put down your phone and pick up Shadowzine. You can't find it in stores. This is old-school print. Head to shadowzine.com and be part of the underground revolution. That's shadowzine.com, and I'll see you in the shadow.
Go check out the new issue of Shadowzine at shadowzine.com. It features me, your old pal, Dave Schrader. I've got an entire story in there about the Warren UFO investigation right here in our own state of Minnesota. Warren UFO, Minnesota. It's an amazing story. I hope you guys are going to like it. Check out shadowzine.com, or you can go check out my website at paranormal60.com, and you can order a signed copy from me there. Maxim Furyk, our guest this evening, he has written a new book that is out and available. Paranormal Apocalypse. Is this how it ends? Are we at the beginning of a new evolution or revolution of humanity that we're going to start seeing and experiencing and having this in mass as opposed to just the one-offs and the handful of people that every year seem to come forward talking about these type of scenarios, Maxim?
Well, I think what we're doing, Dave, but I think we're just trying to figure it out. And with paranormal apocalypse, I contend that that we are being manipulated through fear, whether it's fear by religion, by politics, by society. And it was H.P. Lovecraft that said that fear is the most basic elemental emotion, but fear of the unknown is the most powerful. And I believe that a lot of us are just apprehensive about what lies around the corner. And so I talk a lot about Revelation, about the four horsemen, about the seven seals, and trying to figure out what that's all about. I think the term that they use is, if I could pronounce this right, it's eschatology, the eschatologists, who are the people that are concerned about the end times. So I take a look at these. I take a look at the paranormal apocalypse. Is this how it ends? And then I take a look at some of the possibilities. I mean, we could end this planet with a nuclear winter. You know, it could be a war. It could be a pandemic. It could be a man-made destruction. It could be global warming. You know, there's so many different ways that it could be a natural disaster, but we don't know. And I take a look at some of these things, and what we've looked at over the days, and so even with the apocalypse, the eschatologists aren't sure how that's going to be. I mean, some believe that we've already lived the apocalypse. Some believe that we're living it now, and some people believe that it's right around the corner. So again, it just depends on how you look at this thing. And my book takes a look at that. I think it's kind of unique in that in the realm of the paranormal. You know, we have cryptozoology, and we have ufology, and we have demonology. But with the apocalypse, this is something that's different. And I think we're going to find a readership. I just think that, I'm really proud of the book. And as a matter of fact, you were the one who let me know that it was out there. So thanks for that.
Yeah, it's always good when the author's the last to know that his book's up and available, Maxim. That's the true sign of the apocalypse.
Yeah. And forget about that finder's fee, too.
All right. In looking at a world that's now turned to the paranormal, the supernatural, right? Every TV channel, every network had some form of paranormal programming at some point. Much bigger awareness has taken place. People are focused on it. They're interested. They're fascinated by what's been going on. We all love things that are unexplainable or seemingly unexplainable. But do you think sometimes it's in these places that we usher in problems? You know, I mean, as we become further away from religion and we become further involved and absorbed by our technology, which you think is bringing us closer, but is separating us more than ever, it's creating more cracks in the surface of humanity and allowing those places to be filled with darkness and fear and trepidation. You know, it's can we blame demons for that? Or just, do we just blame humanity for losing our way?
Yeah. Well, I don't think we've lost our way, and I don't think it's negative. I think it's more positive. I think that it's therapeutic. I have conjured a term in paranormal apocalypse called apocalyptic awe. And I believe that we deal with fear. We can control fear through apocalyptic awe, whereas we take a look at fear through a lens, either with motion pictures, literature, or songs. So we're able to look at that fear in a way that gives us control over it, helps us to contain it, and puts it in a place where it's less fearful so we can control it. I think it's a therapeutic way. And certainly with the apocalypse, I mean, we have had so many books and motion pictures about the end, what it's going to look like. So I think we do this so that we don't get crazy, so that we're not like a nation, a world of mentally unstable people. I think by utilizing
apocalypse. Well, Maxim, we might have already missed that boat, my friend. There's a good chance this world is filled with a lot of mentally unstable people.
Yeah. So that's the way I take a look at it. But I think that that works. And I think that it's therapeutic. But, you know, I mean, but it gets crazy because in apocalyptic all, I talk about what was happening in Las Vegas. And, you know, they had all these nuclear bombs, either underground explosions or above ground explosions. And the Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce was finding out when they would do the above ground explosions so they could market this to the tourists. They would get out their lawn chairs and their alcohol and they would watch this. We didn't realize that this, hey, this is radioactive stuff. You know, bad things are going to happen, but this is what happened in Vegas with the bombs. And this was happening. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of tests, not just one or two. So This was part of that awe, that fascination, you know, and I mean, this is when we shouldn't have been in awe. We should have been running, but you know, that, and they even had the, I think the lead dancer at the Tropicana, they picked her as Miss Bomb Blast, whatever. She had a little bikini that looked like the bomb exploding. So, it gets pretty crazy. You know, what does human beings do? You know, dealing with things, but, you know, we find ways to find the resilience. You know, human beings are just so resilient and we find ways to make sense of these things when, you know, instead of just losing it, you know. So again, fear of the apocalypse is very real. And I explore this in my latest book.
We'll cover more about the fear of the apocalypse when we return. And again, I encourage you, go check out the works of Maxim Furyk. There's a link in today's program guide. You can check that out. Go see out all of his books. Learn more about him. Learn more about the work that he's doing. And remember, folks, don't just read these books. Don't just pick them up, give them a cursory glance and read. Rate and review them on places like Amazon and Goodreads, wherever you can, because every time you rate and review a book, it goes a long way to help out our guests to be seen by a larger audience. Meet those algorithms that are so important out there. So please go check that out for yourself and take a look. When we come back, we'll dig a little bit more into this and we'll do that with our guest, Maxim Furyk, right after this. You know, people look at the fact that there's a rise in UFO sightings, alien encounters, Bigfoot sightings, creatures swimming in our waters that we've never seen or noticed before, strange disappearances as outlined in the David Paulides books. You've got ghosts, demonic realm. Again, beginning of this conversation was, are we just becoming more aware? Do you think that we've just reached a level in humanity and evolution where these things are just making themselves more known, like the prime directive of Star Trek? Once you become a conscious collective and you're able to leave the planet kind of sense, then they will let us know. Do you think that with all of the steps that we've made, that's why all of these beings are showing themselves now? Because we've crossed that new threshold.
Well, I think the planets are being aligned. I think there's a renaissance going on where there's more interest in this for a whole lot of different reasons. You know, we talked about people aren't going to church, aren't connecting with organized religion as they had in the past, and with older generations. So I think that's part of it. But I think people are just searching and they're curious and they want to find out, and that's perfectly all right. That's what we need to do. I mean, we are human beings. And, you know, in case your listeners don't know this, we have more DNA than animals. We have more cognition, more spirituality. We are not animals. We're above them. And we can do some pretty wonderful things if we apply ourselves. So again, we have more cognitive and spiritual abilities than the rest of the living creatures on the planet. And, you know, don't tell me about monkeys using tools and having language. I mean, we do it and we do it much better. So realize what you have. It's, you know, it's sacred. You know, appreciate that and honor that, honor the temple. And, you know, I mean, and be the best human being that you could be. I mean, we've been given such wonderful gifts. You know, it's our duty. It's our mission to go out there and figure things out. You know, if there's a, you
right. know, just do it. But are all of these things a distraction, Maxim? Is darkness on the rise? Is there an evil that is coming up and it's taking these different guises to make us question everything we thought we knew, to upset the apple cart? You know, I mean, obviously you can see our country is split down the middle and there's derision on both sides. And I'm not trying to turn this into politics, but you can see how fallible we become when we become divided.
You know, I have a friend who is a devout Christian and he's always warning me not to get too close to the flame. And I say, you know, I'm not, I mean, I approach you know, the occult and the paranormal as a student, as an academic. I read about it. I write about it. You know, I approach, you know, the occult and the paranormal, not with fear, but pretty much with fascination. I mean, it's just like a amazing topic. But again, I don't allow myself to get too close.
Is there an end in sight, do you believe, or is it just fear mongering, people seeing these things taking place, the apocalypse awe of it all being that, you know, wow, this is going on, this, therefore it must mean, like we talked in the first hour, right? You want to attribute activity and action to something. Is there really something bubbling and brewing up, or is it nothing more than just life continues and things are changing? We are evolving.
Life continues. Things are changing. Things are evolving. We write the script. We're in control. You know, you write the beginning, the middle, and the end. You write your own ending. I mean, however you want this to end, go ahead. You know, mine's going to be a happy one. So, you know, so that's how you do it, you know. But again, don't be like the 95% of the lemmings that follow, you know, your brothers over the cliff. You know, be a rational thinker. Use common sense. Make up your own mind. You know, check your sources and do that. You know, don't be a follower.
What were some of the biggest surprises for you in writing this book?
Just that the apocalypse has been with us in literature and song and in myth since the early days. We've always been concerned with it. And there's people that have used this for really evil means. And the one example is Jim Jones, who told his people that there was going to be a nuclear war, and the only way to get away from it was to go to South America. He talked those people into it, but he was a minister, and he used the words in the Bible. He used the words of Jesus Christ to get those people to come over to his side. And it ended up with that mass suicide/murder. They didn't all take the Kool-Aid. Some of them were shot, but everybody was killed. And Jim Jones was the one who shot himself. He never even took the Kool-Aid. So he was a coward and a hypocrite till the end. But I have a chapter on Jim Jones, and this was called The American Apocalypse. But we have plenty of examples of so-called religious people forming cults and keeping people afraid. The reason they join the cult is because you as the leader will keep me safe. I'm going to follow you. You know, I don't have to be afraid because you'll take care of me. Again, these are the followers. These are the little lemmings that are following the other 95%. Don't do that. Be a free thinker. Be a rational thinker.
But yet the Vatican has stepped up. They've got more and more people going through exorcism classes.
Yeah.
It used to be back in the 70s when The Exorcist hit, there was maybe a few in the country that could do that. Now, as my understanding, they're putting through hundreds of students every year. What does religion know that we don't?
Well, it was Pope John Paul II who said that, you know, the devil exists, evil exists. And what he did was Pope John Paul II, who was canonized with Pope John the 23rd, was in my Shepton book. But Pope John Paul II organized a college for exorcism because he believed that medieval rite of exorcism, you know, needed to be modernized. So 400 years after they had written it, he updated it. So it was Pope John Paul II that did this. And he believes that, you know, we need to do this. Evil exists. Let's, you know, let's take a look at it. Let's do what we can. So, and there's so many people that have said the same thing, that evil is not some cartoon, that the devil wants us to think that it's just a fantasy, you know, and many people have said that the devil wants us to believe that it's just an illusion. That's part of the great deception. You know, keep on thinking that. But, you know, evil takes many shapes and forms. So, you know, you can pick and choose with this, whether it's the Schmurl house or maybe it's the end times with the apocalypse. You know, that, you know, the message is that we're going to, before we die, we're going to suffer. So
right.
it's not a good one.
You know, tonight we've traveled from the haunted hallways of West Piston to the terrifying possibility of the world unraveling under supernatural pressure. But with Maxim Furyk, we've, you know, confronted not only the Schmurl haunting and its echoes in America's folklore, but also the unsettling idea that the veil between realities may be thinning in ways we can't ignore. So whether you believe these are isolated cases or part of a greater pattern, one truth remains. Stories like these remind us how fragile and how mysterious our world truly is. This is the Paranormal 360.